Fantastic. Okay, great. Well, today is we're celebrating Harvest, so Harvest Sunday, and we've asked Reach if they would come, our community projects, to come and lead us in that today. So I believe, Anne, you're going to come and start us. Let's just give Anne a welcome, shall we? Come on, whee!
Well, thank you, and welcome to this lovely Sunday, which is our Harvest Sunday. Some of you will know that it is actually 10 years this year of the food bank. Now, although it's, that's not what we really want. We'd love to know that food banks aren't needed, but sadly, they are very much so. We've actually sort of renamed ourselves in a way because we're more than. You've heard of the insurance company. Well, I'm not sure what their more than is, but we know what our more than is. And it all will be revealed as we go along. Now, you need to steel yourselves a little bit because we're going to show you a very quick video that was shown on BBC Look East 10 years ago as we launched the food bank. So there'll be a couple of people in there you might recognise who I think... one at least looks younger. Can we play the video, please, Andy?
As the economy weakens, the number of people struggling to make ends meet is on the increase. Rents go unpaid and the threat of eviction looms. But at Haverhill in Suffolk, voluntary groups and churches have united to form a food bank to help people keep a roof over their heads.
Michelle Abbott has two daughters. She's a single mum and making ends meet is a struggle.
Wow. It's good, isn't it?
Today she became the first person to receive a food box from Haverhill Food Bank.
It's brilliant. Oh, I can't believe it. It's fantastic. I mean, I've got everything, you can use everything. It's not cheap anymore, and obviously the food has gone up and the fuel and everything, and it's expensive. Really expensive. So yeah, it's quite hard.
Everything that comes in has to be weighed, so we know exactly how much we've got in.
In a warehouse, Anne Merrigan sorts items donated to the food bank. It comes from all sorts of places.
We really are very grateful to local churches and schools who've given us their Harvest Festival collections. We've had people within our church and other members of the public collecting food, especially in the supermarkets at the moment. There's a lot of buy one, get one free offers.
Simplicity is the key. Care and support agencies issue individuals or families with vouchers. Then once a week, they can collect a box of food. Churches and voluntary groups have united to find a common solution.
People are, obviously struggling, you know, and they're making choices. You know, what do we do? Do we pay our rent? Do we get food? And obviously, if you don't pay your rent, it means you could face eviction.
At the Town Citizens Advice Bureau, the number of people seeking help has doubled in just 12 months.
They're coming in with regard to a sudden decrease in their income, and that could be through the benefits, through unemployment for a variety of reasons, and a problem that they may have with repossession.
For people like Michelle Abbott, the food bank is already making a big difference. And not surprisingly, the project anticipates a busy year ahead. Richard Daniel, BBC Look East, Haverhill.
You notice Richard on the film there said Haverhill, which I believe is the colloquial way to say it. And I don't know who that young chap was who was packing that box. I can tell you, he didn't really pack that box of food, and I don't believe he's ever packed one since. We're really grateful for everything that's donated to us. And as I said in the film there, things actually haven't changed much. We still have all the churches on board and schools. Obviously, it's harvest time. The schools are starting to collect massive amounts of food for us, which is fantastic. We've got to the point now, we've progressed on to having 7 paid members of staff and an army of volunteers who go down to a very cold warehouse and sort the food, because it all has to be weighed in and sorted, and pack it into food boxes and bring it up to the resource centre. We've also got 2 outreach advisors now who take the Reach services out into the community. So as you can see from the banner here, Reach Community Projects, as we're known, isn't just about a food bank. So we're helping people with debt problems, We're helping with court evictions. We go with people. We go to tribunals. I recently went to two sickness tribunals within the last, within 2 or 3 weeks, and we won both of them. But the point is, it's not about the fact that Reach can do it and Reach fixes everyone. The point is, we're dealing with a lot of people who have so many different and complex issues that they often can't deal with these things themselves. So we see ourselves as the voice to speak up for them. It's not an easy task. I trust you. Trust me on that one. I took 3 months off last year, but God called me back, so he just won't let me go. It's a fantastic organisation to be involved in, to have helped start. I work with some fab people. We work as a team. We support each other. And every single day we pray before we open the resource centre. Every time we go into a home visit, we pray, because we never know what sort of situation we're going to come across. Now, I don't want to bore you this morning. We're going to put up some facts and figures of how much food we've had in over the 10 years, I think. Have we got that? Not to worry. So that's actually where we stand at this moment in time. But that's really quite a sad indication of what's going on out there. As I say, we deal with some quite difficult issues. We see a lot of mental health problems. We're not trained with mental health, but we're rapidly getting there. But we always find that people always respond to kindness and compassion. Anyone who knows me and works with me, particularly on a Wednesday, we'll know that I can be quite strict, but there's always a story that melts your heart. Just the other day, on Thursday, a lady came in who was, she was a nurse. She is a nurse. I won't go into details, but because of domestic violence that had been going on for a long period of time, she'd found herself without a home, without any money. She'd come into us for food, no toiletries, so we helped with that. And as she walked out, I just wanted to cry, because she sat in the chair and I turned away to update some notes, and when I looked at her, she was crying. And that's really hard when you see someone there really at their lowest time. And we've all had times in our lives, I'm sure, where we've been there. I know how things that have happened to me in the past. But, however, so that's where we are with regard to food bank. That's just really the amount of food boxes that have gone out. It's not necessarily people who've been helped with other issues. So I really wanted just to concentrate on a couple of stories today, very briefly, because when we said we were doing harvest today, we did say it was more than food. And with regard to food bank, it isn't just about giving out tins of food. We give out pet foods and we give out toiletries. And we have a number of people who come in who, it might be a benefit issue, it might be that their wages haven't come into the bank, whatever. And if they've got pets, who's feeding the pets? One young man recently, he was giving his food from the food box to his dog. And I know, because of his mental health, that dog is what gets him through every day. So, you know, we have a cupboard full of pet foods, we have toiletries, toothpaste, toilet tissue, all that kind of thing. So in case anybody was wondering why we wanted to collect those items, that's why. Because we know when we go shopping, we have to buy all our toiletries and everything else. Now, one story I want to tell you about is a young man. I say young man because anybody who's younger than me is a young man or a young lady. So Alex, and this is Alex. Now, Alex is autistic. Particularly, he struggles with Asperger's. And I don't know if anybody in the room who will understand that. I certainly don't understand it. But so Alex came into us at the beginning of the year, and basically what happened with him, he's a very independent young man. He keeps himself to himself. He's quite well organised. When I visited his flat, his clothes were lined up just like how Mr. Bean had them. Exactly like that, which is quite comical, but actually that's how Alex's mind works. Now, he's been quite able to look after himself and everything else, but he was in privately rented accommodation, and it was costing him £700 a month for his flat. Unable to work, he had to go on to the new Universal Credit, which paid him £860 a month. So, you know, we don't need to be mathematicians to work out that actually, you know, it was a big struggle for him. By the time he'd paid for his electricity, and the flat was heated by electric, so it was all electric heating, which I know he didn't put on a lot of the time. He was struggling to buy food for himself, pay for his phone, his water, all those kinds of things. And he came into us, and he was very meek and very humble, and just said he needed some help. Not quite ready for that one yet, Andy, but yeah. So he came in, and we thought, well, obviously we're going to give him a box of food, and we did this for a few weeks actually, while we put our heads together to decide what can we actually do for this young man. So we realised the problem was housing. Now, we don't have any influence over housing providers, but we can certainly talk to them. We can certainly try and find what the options are. And so we spoke to the housing people, and a couple of weeks went by. In the meantime, we applied for a discretionary housing payment to help with towards his rent, which he was awarded. But we thought, obviously, you know, something really needs to happen here. Now, nothing happened for a couple of weeks, and then out of the blue, somebody phoned. They had changed his banding from band D, which is the lowest, to band A. Amazing. So, at last, some common sense. And they'd actually found him a property. And so I rang him up and said, Alex, they found your property. They found your a one-bed flat. Yay. But it's in Bury. Fantastic. I love Bury, he said. I thought, how cool is that? So this is actually Alex in the kitchen of his new flat. I took him over. He signed his tenancy agreement, picked up his keys. We took him round there. He's in walking distance of Asda. And so with the help of Reach, we actually physically moved him, lock, stock and barrel, in 2 days, I believe. And that caused a challenge in itself, trying to get a big washing machine down a flight of stairs. But anyway, we did it. And it was thanks to our lovely volunteers as well that did it. And yeah, you can see there, look, he's just so grateful. And I usually ring him up every fortnight just to see how he's doing, and he's doing marvellously. He's had his deposit back from his rented accommodation, and he's got money there. He can buy his new cooker that he needs and everything else. So it was just amazing to be involved in that. But if we hadn't been there, I don't know what would have happened to Alex, because I found out that the Christmas before, he'd spent on his own with a pot noodle and a can of Coke. And, you know, we hear stories like this all the time. It really gets to us at times. Another little story I want to tell you about, and it's not a little story, is Kat and Dan. And there holding the flowers is our lovely Tina, one of our outreach advisors. She works out in the South Cams area, so around Linton and the villages around Haverhill. And she met them, this family, in October 2017. So you'll forgive me for reading it, because I haven't been directly involved. They were really, really worried about the issues, because they had bailiffs, enforcement officers at the door. They had a large amount of debts, but they were both working, just trying to juggle everything, and their three young children, and two cats. Overcrowded in poor housing with mould and damp issues, and they were all extremely downhearted and stressed. So over the period of 8 months, so a lot of work, a lot of time, we talked with the enforcement people, which is something we do, we liaise with them, and tried to get action stopped, and we renegotiated the payments with them for council tax and rent arrears, and actually it worked, and so they started to go on through a debt plan with them. Tina says that we also helped them set up other creditor payments, as well as taking food parcels, supporting them during Christmas. We helped with nappies when times were hard. But we treated them to a family day out at a pantomime, which really went down extremely well. Because Reach is all about loving people. It's not about, well, you know, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. Yes, we want people to take responsibility. One of our values is respect and responsibility, which we have up on the wall in the resource centre. But sometimes, as we all know, things just happen and it all goes pear-shaped, and we need someone to stand with us. So by the end of June 2018, they had managed to get on top of their finances and as a result have now moved to a bigger house in a new area which is more suitable for their family. The dad, Dan, he's now got a better paid job and he's really working really hard to try and not smoke, trying to look after himself, be more healthy for his kids. So already we're hearing how his whole demeanour has changed. So this is what Reach Again is about. It's not just about giving a food box and doing a few phone calls. It's about standing with them. We just want to see people released from all the issues that caused them to be bound. We just want to see people having their life with their kids. Both parents now apparently are much happier and have said the help from Reach was amazing. It means that we can tackle our problems and it's got us to where we want to be, in a new home and on top of our finances. And when we hear that, that is so rewarding. Now, notice they've got a couple of cats as well, so I'm betting we took some cat food as well. So hence, again, we've asked for pet foods. So that's just a sort of a flavour, really, of the kinds of things we're involved in. And again, I just want to thank everybody who's donated over the years, who's given their time, who volunteers. We have a large number of volunteers who do all sorts of things with us, not just at the food bank, as general advisors. They come out to home visits with us, you know, as a chaperone, as a befriender. So I just want to thank you all for everything. I noticed that out the front there in the boxes I've brought that a number of you have given us lots of goodies, so thank you. If anybody still has anything to donate, if you just want to hang on to the end, please, and put them into the boxes out the front and we'll make sure they get picked up next week. So if anybody would like to volunteer in any way, please do come and see me. Or if you have any questions, then please, again, do come and ask us. But thank you very much.
And we're not ashamed of the gospel because it is, you know, the power of God which will really bring the real lasting change in people's lives. And Anne won't mind me saying, she's one of them, you know, who I met, you know, who was, you know, just completely in a situation where it is out of control. And, you know, bringing Christ into her situation turned her around. And her and her husband, you know, gave their lives to Christ. I think it was probably late 2007. So, and obviously Anne was with us really as we started the food bank in 2008. So we press on. We haven't arrived, by the way. You know, that's one of the things that I was just saying, you know, at the start, you know, to Anne. I says, you know, the important thing is that, yes, 10 years, but by no means have we arrived. There's a whole raft of people still to help. There's new people to help. There's new people to hear about this amazing, you know, love of Christ, which can transform people's lives. And we're just so keen to be able to do that. I'm going to read one of my favourite verses, nothing about harvest, and we're probably not going to sing We Plough the Fields and Scatter, so if you're expecting that today, I'm really sorry about that, but it ain't going to happen, I'm afraid. So, and there's probably nothing much in here that will talk about the harvest or anything like that, but it might, because this is the verse that I read out for Emma, my granddaughter, our granddaughter, her dedication, because it's really, really important. And it's a prayer, if you like, for the Ephesians, but I think it's a prayer for us all. It's a prayer for everyone. If you're a Christian, this is a prayer, and also more than, if you don't know Jesus, this is a prayer for you too, because it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." I don't need to say any more. Just look at those verses there.
Just if think if we could grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And if you like, I find this little next bit in the verse is the finale to it all. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, in many respects, this is probably not a preach, really. It's more a little bit of a testimony, if you like. And I make no apology for that, but I'd like to think that there's a testimony here with a very strong message. So hold on to your seats. Are you ready? Here we go. In the last 10 years, as we've said, we've received enough food for 6,000 families. It also means that, and by the way, there are 2 tons, by the way, because remember that figure on there? We've had 24 tons in, 22 tons we've given out. So that means there's 2 tons in the warehouse. I bet there ain't. Somewhere along the lines. But you're allowed to be a little bit out, apparently. So, but anyway, 2008. What happened in 2008? I had darker hair. You probably noticed that. I don't know if you could actually spot that. And I looked a darn sight slimmer. My head still wobbles when I speak a lot. But anyway, there you go. And they keep showing this clip. I don't know if they've shown it lately on BBC Look East. People would say, oh, I've seen your picture. I thought, well, it's about time they got a fresh one. But anyway, 2008. The world economy was teetering on the brink of recession with a so-called credit crunch. Do you remember it? Do you also remember who had a mortgage or money with Northern Rock? You know, you might have done. But Northern Rock, the Building Society Bank, was nationalised, and I think it went bust around about 2010 or got, you know, disbanded or something like that. Who remembers a bank called Lehman Brothers or a big organisation? It became one of the world's largest, if not the largest, corporate bankruptcies with a debt of some, this is bigger than what we could deal with, $613 billion. That's their debt, $613 billion. Blimey, I would definitely have said, you need bankruptcy, mate. You know, that's it. You know, it's just sort of like the route straightforward, you know, just bankruptcy. Oh, and here in Haverhill, River of Life became the Trussell Trust's 26th food bank. Do you know that? That was it. If you look on the bottom there, look, it says here, charity number 111-5810. You look up on the Charity Commission website, that's River of Life. That is it. You know, River of Life. They invested in, you know, if you like, in me, in us, to actually make this happen. When we first starting out, and this is important, the churches in Haverhill said it's not needed. So the churches, I sat in a meeting, and Paul probably remember, and they all sort of like said, no, we don't need this, we don't need this. But we just got on with it. And in some respects, I felt a little bit guilty, really, because I thought, no, we're going to do this, because I know there's a need. I know there's a need. I'm seeing it, you know, through the debt work that I was doing. And this is the important bit. Think about this. It's 2008. I remember a conversation with Paul, and he said to me, you know, we can't afford this. We haven't got enough money. We can't take this on. You know, you've got to raise your own money. In other words, we can't afford it. 2008, we hadn't got any money. Can you believe it? 2008, we hadn't got any money. Well, guess what? 2018, we still haven't got any money. But we're still here. And we're still making a difference. God's in the business of, you know, despite our failures, despite our, you know, oh, how are we going to get the money in or anything like that, God's still in the business of resourcing us. As I said, we started to do it anyway. A little bit of a testimony. To get started, we need £1,260 or enough to pay £105 a month via a standing order. I agreed to we'd go for it. You know, £105 a month. We'd got £180 in the bank because a couple from this church suddenly, they said, when I told them about it in 2007, when I got this idea of doing this, they said, we'll give you £15 a month. Well, 1 year on, that had amassed to £180. So I knew I'd got enough for 1 month, you know, and we were really desperate to try and make it happen. We did a couple of fundraisers events. We did an all-nations meal here in the church, and then we did bag packing at Sainsbury's. I also met a counsellor. It's another thing, really. This is really important. These are little divine appointments. Do pray for divine appointments, folks, because this really does make a difference. I met a counsellor at a meeting. Anne Gower, her name was. She was on one of those photographs there, who mentioned us to the new mayor of St. Edmundsbury. Who on earth are the food bank? Who on earth are River of Life? It's a church. We can't support churches. But they did. And he made us Charity of the Year and gave us a small donation from his locality budget. We were off. Do you know, we have never, ever, ever, to this day, been in deficit. We're in the food bank. It never. You know, it's. I just thought, you know, at the time, trying to tell people that there's a need for food in food, you know, people going without food in Haverhill was ridiculous. And yet, you know, God has supplied our need, you know, on a year-on basis. But we're not finished yet. We also needed a warehouse. I could go on and tell you about the warehouse or anything like that. We also needed a team of people, and we also needed a food. By the way, probably around about July time, we had no warehouse, we had no team of people, and we didn't have any food. It was that sort of kind of tight, and it just so happened that we had a conversation with the chap at Royce, and we got that little room, and then we got a room upstairs, and then we got the bigger warehouse, and you know, and to this day, we've been there, and to replace that would probably cost us around between £9,000 to £10,000-£12,000 a year. And that's what we've been there for 10 years. That's a huge amount of money. That's God resourcing. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, through the power at work that is within him. So in other words, it's not us, but it's to him. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And you know, that has been a theme for us throughout the year. You know, there's been a sense of, you know, can we do it? I don't expect anyone to remember this at all from last year. Well, you might do, but I don't expect you to. Because throughout 2017... we had significantly expanded our team. Anne mentioned that we've now got 7 staff. And last year at Harvest in October, I ended with these words. I says, can we afford this new team? You know, on paper, not a chance. No chance whatsoever. No way. You know, it's just way beyond us. It was a really big ask. But can we afford not to try? And that was the thought that really was. Do you know, I thought, and I've said this time and time again to Angela, do you know what? If we fail, if we fall down flat on our faces, if we fail, I don't know that we really failed. It just didn't quite work out, really. And we'll just, God's in the business of picking us back up. But we just keep pressing on. Can we afford not to at least try? And I say that to us as a congregation. You know, when there's need out there, can we afford not to at least try? Despite not having enough money, despite not having enough resources, no team, no people, or anything like that, can we afford not to try? And who knows, we may have overstepped the mark. This is what I was thinking last year, and I think it still, and I think it most days. But we're praying. We're praying for those divine appointments. Keep praying for those divine appointments, because we just bump into the right person at the right time. You just have that conversation for doors to be open, for more people to be drawn into a relationship with God. I really want that more and more and more, that people would really experience a life-changing message of Christ. Well, we're still here, and literally by God's grace, despite our failures, mistakes, we're still here. And if you get nothing else from our message or from this little bit of a message this morning, God is such an incredibly gracious God. God is so incredibly gracious. I find that it just never, ever, ever ceases to amaze me. Because I say this, despite our failures, mistakes, and poor choices, he still chooses to love us, forgive us, restore us, and redeem the situations. And I find that absolutely breathtaking. I find that sometimes it just makes me stop and I just think to myself, I can't really, almost sort of like, why me? You know, what crumbs, you know, it's not nothing of my doing. Do you know, I sat in the office last Friday, the 28th of September, just reflecting. And one of the team, Joe, she tapped on the window and we chatted about the clients. We chatted about what we're doing for dinner tonight and that sort of thing as we normally do on a Friday. And, just what you're up for the weekend and stuff. Now, Joe's been with us a year now and she nearly didn't happen. We really got it wrong last April, May time when we didn't offer her the job. And I'm responsible. We really stuffed up. And yet, it didn't work out with this other person. And yet, when I contacted her and said, about coming to work with us, and she said, well, I don't know, I've kind of moved on, but anyway, long story. And then she came back after 2 weeks, agonizing 2 weeks while I waited, and I didn't expect her to. I thought we'd lost the opportunity. She said, well, God called me to this work, so I'm pretty convinced, that God hadn't taken that call away. When I stuffed it up, God restored it. That's what God does. When we get it wrong, He restores it. And last Friday was the last working day of Reach financial year. And it was a day I wasn't sure if I was really looking forward to or dreading it. But we knew on Friday that we'd broken even. And I tell you, by the skin of our teeth, we're broken even by the skin of our teeth. In fact, in that week alone, from Monday to Friday, we'd had in £31,500. And we've broken evens. Hang on a minute, folks. That means that's a significant loss. That's not good. When we're applying for funds, when we're showing people on the, Charity Commission website and other bits and pieces, there's your income and there's your... Sorry, your income's there and your loss is up here. You're not sustainable. It doesn't look very good. I just didn't know what to do. It just woke me up in the morning. It would be a waking thought and I'd just be thinking, God. And I'd be praying, God, you can do more than so much more than I can ask or imagine. And obviously He did. But you see, in May this year, we had our accounts audited and the person said, hope you don't mind me talking as frank and as bluntly as this, but hopefully a bit of encouragement for you here. He says, did you know you're showing a £25,000 loss for the first 6 months? And I did. I knew. I'm not stupid. He asked, but you're getting some money in soon, I take it. And I thought, I hope so. I don't really know, to be honest. But I really didn't. We didn't know. And I can remember in that May time, and it was really tough. There were times where I just thought, I could just quit. Why do I bother? I remember just going to see Emma, granddaughter, at the end of the day, and as soon as she opened the gate, she beamed and smiled, and I said to Angela, I says, I'm going to be a full-time granddad. I'm just going to quit. And that was in May. And, it was just really hard. We're down to our last little drop of money. We'd got 1 month's money. Why doesn't God talk to the Charity Commission? Because God says, I give you enough manna for today. He doesn't say store up manna for the next sort of 6 months or something, or the next 3 months, like Charity Commission website says. But it was really tough, and I just thought, whatever's going to happen, and I just thought, what have we done wrong? Where's it? It was really tough. Despite where I'd messed up, and by the way, I am responsible. I'm responsible for this. If you like, I'm the CEO or the projects director, whatever you want to call it. I'm the man at the top there. So it's, I'm responsible. And I knew what I'd done wrong. I won't go into the detail, I won't bore you with the detail. I'd just not taken my eye off a place, but I'd left it in the hands of somebody else, and it didn't happen. And so suddenly we were chasing our tail, really working hard to make it happen. You see, and this is some of our client stories. This is for some of the people out there, and it's probably for some of the people of you, yourselves out there. Some of our clients that we see at times, and a lot of them I would say, they've made wrong choices. That's it. They've made wrong choices. Do you know what? That's me too. perhaps been a bit unwise. That's me too. How many times have I been unwise? All the time. Maybe buried their head in the sands. I did that too. God will come through. God will come through. Henry, you've got to do something about this. We've really got to dig. We've got to do something. Despite our failures, God encourages us to get back up and move on, believing for something better. Do you know what? And I say this with no false humility. I really, really don't. There's nothing special about me or about us as an organization. I'm no different. I'm a Haverhill boy. I'm born, you know, born and bred here and just on a council estate. There's nothing that special about me. And if God can do that through us, why not anyone? Why can't he use everyone? Why can't he chooses to use us all? If ever I was to write a book and the 6 copies that I'd have to get printed for my family, you know, I thought about it and I thought I would actually title it, Why Me? But in, you know, you've got those little, you know, a V, upside down V across the top, and I'd put, not. Why not me? Why not us? Why not me? Why not you? Why not us? And I know I've said this before, and I'm so passionate about it, because sometimes it is a sense of belief, sometimes, of just hanging on to it. We hear of good stories, of good things happening to other people. And we think, do you know what? It always happens out there. Always happens in another town. You know, look at what they're doing, other bits and pieces. What we don't see is what really is going on, but we just hear the good stories. You know, we hear, and we think, God, it always happens to somebody else. When something happens to somebody else, think, yep, happens to them, but it never happens to me. Hang on a minute. Why not? Why not us? Isn't this scripture verse, is God's word and promise only for churches in other places or very holy Christians? Well, I'm not a very holy Christian, I can promise you that. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, it's also for us here in Haverhill. It's also for us. We can, you know, it's not what we can do, it's what God can do. It's about investing in what God can do. Yes, despite our mistakes, our failures, God is in the business of encouraging us to get back and move on and believe for something better. God's in the business. He wants us to, when I say succeed, what is success anyway? But it's seeing lives change. It's seeing people, you know, just set free from their situations, to be given a hope, to be given life in its fullness. To him who is able, to God, that's who it is, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. In Jesus' name.
Could we sing together again, if that's okay? Well, thank you, Anne. Thank you, Henry, for sharing with us. It's, I don't know about you, really. I don't know what to say, really. It's not very often I'm lost for words. So exciting, really challenging, and it's exciting to be, you know, grateful to God that we've been able to be part of that journey as well as a church. So let's stand together, shall we, if you're able to.